Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Tomorrow is the last Sunday of the church year, the last Sunday of the season of Pentecost. We've been spending, well, since late spring, we've been spending several months here thinking about and studying and talking about and praying about the Christian life, living our lives in Christ, and where each one of those lives is going to lead is to a final day, a final judgment day. This is kind of a weird thing to think about. I mean, here I am, I'm just going through my daily life. I wake up in the morning and I've got my family and my friends, and I'm not really that important of a person. I saw a pro football player in the airport at Lambert one time. That's my closest brush with fame that I've ever had. But one day, I am going to be standing before the creator of the universe, and he's going to decide what's going to happen with me. I know we don't like to think about God being like this, but he's going to decide whether I'm going to be, well, in the words of our gospel text, a sheep or a goat, if I'm going to go this way or if he's going to put me this way. And Christians have thought about this a lot. I mean, lots of people, even non-Christians, think about Judgment Day. What are you going to say on Judgment Day? I remember when I was taught to do evangelism in the church that I grew up when I was a kid, we would talk to people about, you know, when you go to heaven, when you die and you stand before God and he asks you, why should I let you into heaven? What are you going to say? And the answer I would have given back then would have been something like, well, I trust in Jesus. I ask Jesus to come into my heart. But that's not the answer that's here in the gospel reading. Maybe your answer would be, well, I'm a Lutheran, or I've been baptized, or I love Jesus, or I believe in Jesus, or something like that. That's not the answer in this reading. And in this reading, when we stand before the Lord and he makes his final decision what to do with us, there's not going to be anything to say, because everything that's going to decide that will have already happened. And don't get upset with me. When I read this, don't say, geez, this is just weeks after the Reformation. Aren't you supposed to be saying stuff about salvation by faith? Well, this story is really weird, and it conflicts with my theology. And we're just going to have to deal with that, I think. The story goes like this. You're standing before God on the last day, and I don't know if you're the kind of person that's going to prepare your defense, or you're going to say something like, I asked Jesus into my heart, or I've been baptized, or something like that. But when he looks at you and he decides what he's going to do with you, he's going to remember what you did on this earth. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared before you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous, those who are going to be, you know, the sheep in the story, those who are going to pass on to the eternal kingdom, are going to say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And then vice versa for those who didn't. Here in this text, when Jesus talks about the final judgment, it's not done upon the basis if you were a member of a Lutheran church, or you were baptized, or you asked Jesus into your heart. It's done on the basis of, did you do good works or not? Did you do good works or not? All right, so like I say, this doesn't sound like salvation by faith alone, which we all say we believe in. It sounds like salvation by works. What are we going to do with this? First of all, we need to think about, what does Jesus mean when he says something like, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me? There's this thing that Jesus does when he talks about good works, where it's like the good works that you do as a Christian are coming from Jesus, and they're passing through you, and they're going to Jesus. I mean, I know that we do good works for our friends and our family and for those who are in need around us. But the way that Jesus talks about it is, I give you these good works. These are good works that you're doing for me, not just for the people that you think that you're doing them for, but you're actually doing these good works for me. A little bit earlier, he says, earlier in the Gospels, he says, whoever will give you a cup of water to drink in my name will by no means lose their reward. These good works that we as Christians are supposed to be doing, these good works, which will be the basis of our judgment on the last day, are works that are to be done in the name of Jesus. All right, what does it mean to do a work in the name of Jesus? So on the surface, right, when you do a good work and you say, I'm doing this good work in Jesus' name. All right, but this is not exactly what Jesus is talking about. And some of you have heard me say this before, so just hang with me if this is old material for you. What does it mean to do something in the name of Jesus? You guys have seen, you've seen cop shows, right, where a police officer will say, and I don't even know if police officers actually really say this in real life, but something along the lines of stop in the name of the law, right? What does that police officer mean? The police officer means I'm telling you to stop, and I'm telling you to do it in the name of the law. Not in my name. I'm just a dude. I'm just a police officer. But I represent something bigger than me. I represent the law. And so when I tell you to do something, I need you to obey me. Because it's not about me, but I represent the law. This is actually what it means to do something in Jesus' name. Right? So when a pastor baptizes somebody, the pastor will say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that this means, okay? But one of the things that it means is that the pastor's not really, the person of the pastor's not that important. It's not that the pastor doesn't have authority to baptize. It is God who baptizes us. And so when the pastor baptizes us, he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm doing this, but it's actually God that's doing it through me, right? We start our service off tonight in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do we mean by that? What is it? Why do we say in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit when we come together? Well, it's because we recognize that you and I, we don't really have the right to come into the throne room of God and talk to him unless we do so with his authority, unless we do so covered by the blood of Jesus. And so the first thing that we say when we come in here to worship God, when we come into his presence as he meets with us, is we're coming in here, we're starting the service only in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You guys, when you pray your Christian prayers, you end your prayers in Jesus' name, amen. Why do you say in Jesus' name, amen? Because what you mean is I can't pray to God. God is holy, and I am sinful, and I have no right or ability to come into contact with his holiness, or it will destroy me. I can't even pray to him. He won't even listen to me because I'm so filthy. But if I go to him in Jesus' name, covered by the blood of Jesus, he will accept me. I can only talk to God in Jesus' name. So what am I saying? What are you saying when you say in Jesus' name, amen? What you're saying is that, God, it's not me coming into your throne room to pray to you. It's not me coming into church to worship you. It's not me baptizing you. God, it is Jesus. I am coming to you because Jesus is bringing me here, and I am trusting that when you look at me, you're actually seeing Jesus. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Okay, so now I want you to translate that to what Jesus is saying about good works here in the gospel. On the last day, you're going to stand before the Father, and he's going to judge you based upon your deeds. It's only the deeds that are done in Jesus' name which will be good and which will last. What does it mean to do a good work in Jesus' name? It means the same thing as when you pray in Jesus' name. It means this. God, I can't do good works. Only Jesus can do good works. Jesus is the only person, only human ever who's ever done a single good work. Whether it's the ultimate good work of salvation, dying on the cross for our sins, rising from the dead, applying that salvation to us in the waters of baptism, creating faith in our hearts as we hear God's word so that we're saved. It's only Jesus that can do that good work. But all the works of provision as well. Hungry people being fed, naked people being clothed, lonely people being befriended, homeless people being sheltered. Jesus is the only one who can do those good works too. And so when you and I as Christians do a good work in Jesus' name, all we're saying is that I can't do any good works. I'm sinful and wicked, and all my good works are filled up with selfishness and hatred and envy. But Jesus can do good works, and Jesus through me can do good works. And so in Jesus' name, I'm going to do these good works. These are the works that God will accept on the last day. See, this is salvation by faith alone. It's only those who are completely relying on Christ to do good works through them that are accepted for those good works. And when those good works are accepted by God at the end of the day, when he sees your good works and he says, okay, enter into the joy of the everlasting kingdom, it's actually not your good works that he's seeing. It's Jesus' good works that he's seeing. Two things about this point that I want to make. Doing a good work in Jesus' name means these two things. First of all, that we can't do good works on our own. That only Jesus can do good works. This is what point that I just made. But second of all, that if we are in Jesus, if you and I are Christians, if you have been united with Christ by faith, you will do good works. And it will be those works that God will look at on the last day and say, yes, that is a person who has trusted in Jesus alone. That is a person who is welcome to the kingdom. Good works will naturally flow out of your salvation. Let me try to make this clear with a little bit of algebra. What I'm not saying, what the Bible doesn't teach, is that good works equal salvation. That is not true. Neither is it true from the Bible that faith in Christ plus good works equals salvation. What is true from the Bible, from Paul, from James, from Jesus here, is that faith in Christ results in salvation plus good works. Your faith in Jesus Christ will result in your salvation. But what will flow out of that will inevitably be good works. Now maybe you're saying to me, I don't know. I'm a Christian, I think, but I've done a whole lot of stupid stuff. Even as after I was a Christian, I've done a whole lot of disobeying of God. Maybe I've lived this whole Christian life my whole life, and I'm closer to death than I am to being born, and I don't know how many good works I've ever done, and I hope, I trust in Jesus, I believe in Jesus. Well, here's the thing about doing good works in Jesus' name, is that you are doing them in Jesus' name. And as Christians, I know sometimes we're selfish. All of this is imperfect. You will not, all of your works won't be good. Some of the times the works that you do will be filled up with selfishness and greed. But not always. And you're going to be surprised at the last day. Look, here's what happens in the story. This isn't stated explicitly in Jesus' story. But it happens in the story that these people who are like you, who are saying, have I ever done any good works? They show up on the last day and Jesus says to them, you did a bunch of good works to me. You went and visited the sick in prison. You went to the hospital and visited those who were lonely, those who were physically endangered and in trouble. You clothed the naked and you fed the poor. You gave shelter to the homeless. I don't remember doing any of that stuff. What are you talking about? Well, I didn't do any of that stuff. Jesus is going to say, well, yeah, you did, but you didn't think that you were doing it to please me. You didn't think that you were doing it to bribe me to give you salvation. You were doing it because I was living in you. And my life, Jesus' life, which abounds in good works, was flowing through you. So fill ourselves up on Jesus. Fill ourselves up on his word. Fill ourselves up on his good gifts, like the sacraments, the Holy Spirit, which comes to us as we worship God in fellowship with others here at church. And let's be surprised at the last day to see what Jesus is doing through us, in us and through us, in his own name. Amen.